Hey, it's Richie, and before we start the show, we have a new sponsor to tell you about here on the Hockey Podcast Network, only for our friends outside the state of Arizona. You can download the DraftKings app right now, use the promo code THPN, and you can enter the free $55 million Super Bowl Prediction Challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. So use the promo code THPN right now and you can enter that free $55 million Super Bowl challenge, DraftKings.com or the DraftKings app. Of course, DraftKings is the official fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. And who do you have winning the big game? The Chiefs? The Buccaneers? You can predict the winner and answer other questions like who will score first, and boom, get ready to make it rain. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to its players since 2012, and so they know a thing or two about big paydays. Once again, if you're outside of the state of Arizona, take advantage. DraftKings.com, promo code THPN.
I'm Corey Huntra.
I'm Richie Suave Flores.
And this is Sporty with Corey and Richie Suave.
On the Hockey Podcast Network.
Welcome back in Sporty Nation. It is a wonderful Thursday. I'm losing my days of the week. It will be game two tonight against the Ducks after a disappointing 1-0 loss. We will be talking about that very shortly. We will also be talking about some issues that the NWHL had with Barstool and, we now found out that Chajka has been suspended for the rest of 2021 due to his own termination from the Coyotes and his exploring other opportunities outside of the Coyotes. So that came down over the past couple of days. It's been very interesting so far on hockey socials. So we've got a lot to cover in a little bit of time. So per the usual, we need to get right into it. And I need to introduce, as always, my wonderful and amazing co-host, Richie Suave Flores. How you doing?
Hello, Corey. I'm doing wonderful. We are recording at past 10 o'clock here tonight. And so I still have some of my coffee with me here to drink. So I'm still drinking a little bit of the coffee here from Dutch Bros so I can get through the podcast for a late night recording. One quick story. So in light of the Bernie Sanders meme from the inauguration, I have a fun story. I haven't sent you the picture yet. I got to send you the picture. I don't have it with me. It's out in the other room. But when I was at work today, these nice older ladies came through my line, and I rang up their groceries, and I was like, "Hey, thanks, thank you, take care, whatever." And as they were, putting away their stuff, I saw in one of their purses a Bernie Sanders meme keychain, right? And it was Bernie Sanders with his mittens. And
it's already made keychains.
Yes, but here's the cool part about this. That story gets better. I go, as they're going away, I go, "Oh my gosh," with a really excited voice. You know how I get really excited if my voice like gets super excited, and you can tell? With a big grin on my face. I can't tell because of my mask, right? And I go, "Oh my gosh, I love that keychain. Where'd you get it?" And the woman goes, "Oh, I made it myself." And I go, "Oh, that's awesome. I love that. That's really cool." And she goes, "Oh, well, do you want this one? Like, I can make another one." Because she made it herself.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it turned out really cool. And she just takes it off her purse and she gives it to me as a gift. And I was like so excited by this. It made me so happy. It made my day, made my week, and I now have it to cherish. In my, it's out in the other room. I'll send you a picture of it. And I'll tweet it out from the Sporty account too. But that's how we're going to kick off the podcast. Is a very, very much in a positive light that people in this world are still very nice and very talented enough to give me something, a cashier at Sprouts, for goodness sake, something that they worked, I don't know how long she worked on it, maybe hours, and it was so beautifully done, it looked so cool, and just decided to give it to me. Somebody she's probably never seen in her life, maybe never see again. And I thought, I was like, man, that made my day, and it made me really happy. So I'm really happy tonight.
That's awesome. That's really cool. It's really cool that she even, like, that she made one. I was about to say, that's a quick turnaround time for wherever she got that from. I was like, I was thinking maybe like Etsy or something. Like, that was a very quick turnaround time from when the meme started to when she had a keychain. So that's why I was like, dang, already. But that's really awesome. That's really cool of her to give that to you. How sweet of her. What a nice lady. Shout out to the lady in the Sprouts line today. Good for you. Good for you being a good person.
It made my day. I was very excited. And, like, she couldn't see my face, which is the kind of the crazy part of it. But she could probably hear it in my voice how excited I was about it.
Oh, Richie, you don't hide your excitement. It's very easy to tell that you're excited.
As I'm sure you can tell on the podcast, for the podcast listeners, you can hear me, my excitement, just telling the story.
Oh, yeah. You do, like, Richie doesn't do anything subtly. Richie is either, like, calm, or he is, like, super excited and is freaking out. And I'm saying this in, like, every sense of the meaning. Even in the way that he, like, walks, you know, he, like, always has, like, a quick walk about him, right? He kind of has, like, a bob. He always just kind of, like, walks and bobs at the same time. But it's his bob turns into almost like a full-blown jump when he's excited. Like, it's like, or he has to go to the bathroom, one of the two. Like, he's just like beelining it for something, and he will just, and it's basically the way everything is with you. And it's so nice, it's so refreshing because of the fact that, like, you know, people don't get genuinely excited about things. Richie will get genuinely excited for you. You don't need to be excited. He will be excited for you. It's like the coolest shit ever. It's great vibes to be around, honestly.
Thank you. I wish everybody was a little bit more like that. But I like to be as positive as I possibly can. So I'm glad you recognize that. And I'm glad, hopefully other people recognize that as well. And yeah, you're right. Something to be excited about here in 2021, because Lord knows the Coyotes haven't been very exciting so far to start the year, as their record now stands at 2-4-1.
2-4-1. There you go. Yeah, I was coming into this Ducks game really, really hoping that the Coyotes would show up the way that they did in some of those Vegas games, where you definitely saw them trying, like, coming out really aggressive and really trying to get pucks to the net and trying to get quality chances. And that was not what we saw whatsoever. They had a ton of offensive zone time. It was great for that. Their puck possession was great. Their chances, though, in front of the net and quality chances were absolutely horrendous. They were all perimeter shots, which is completely a Coyotes thing to be doing. Honestly, it's a, you know, it's nothing shocking to us. Just like it's nothing shocking to us that there is no one player that you know, that is burying goals on this team, because of the fact that they just don't have that talent. Even when you have players like Taylor Hall come in, somehow he still even got a little bit off his flow when he was here, because I don't know, there is something in the water. There hasn't really been a great goal scorer for the Coyotes since about probably 2011, 2012, with Radim Verbata. And that's very frustrating. We've mentioned it before on the show, but this is going to be a problem that they will always have until they find someone to fix it. And I've said this many times before. I feel like that should be Clayton Keller, and that should be his position on this team. However, it's not particularly what we're going to be seeing out of him because of the fact that he is more of a playmaker and he just does not have the aggression and the skill to bury it. Like, it just, every single time I watch him play, I lose faith each time in seeing him become what this team needs him to be. So it's going to have to come from outside of this team, I feel like.
Yeah, 100%. I think this is, you know, we thought maybe this team, Corey and I knew coming into the season that this team's biggest issue was going to be scoring goals, and it's showing up again. And the one person that's taking notice right now is Bill Armstrong. And I think he's seeing now that this team isn't going to fix what's broken them for so many years. And because from what I saw against Anaheim is a team that is, you know, I am sick of this team playing good hockey and not scoring goals. And I don't know where the disconnect there is. It should be easier to play like they are playing and actually put the puck in the back of the net. And they're not doing it. And I'm out of answers for this team right now. I can't imagine what Rick Tocchet and the coaching staff are going through right now. It's just, it's frustrating beyond repair. And it's just like, I don't know where this team goes from here. And that you can say that in the short term and in the long term. So tonight's game against Anaheim, who knows? Maybe they figure out a way to win the game, you know, 3-2 or 2-1, whatever. But in the long term, it's just not sustainable. They're not going to make the playoffs if they continue to have these offensive issues. It just can't happen. Players can't disappear like Clayton Keller, who I'm looking up his stats to begin the season here really quickly. He's got 3 points in 7 games, Corey. You're right. I wonder if, granted, we're 7 games in the season, right? It doesn't seem like that many, but a shortened season, these games are going to go by so quick. And when you're playing teams like Anaheim, who struggle offensively too, and they're still beating you, and you're only, if you're Clayton Keller and you're making $6.5 million a year, but you're only putting up 3 points in 7 games, I wonder if we're going to see some big changes with this team at the trade deadline.
Well, and you are essentially playing a team that is not a team. You are playing Gibson. That is who you are playing. He is a stellar goaltender. Darcy Kuemper is better, but Gibson is a stellar goaltender. So in the fact that he is able to keep them in these games, that's it. Like, you are playing him. That team does trash in front of them. That if that team was a much better team all around, then yes, they would be killing it. But he has no one in front of him to help him. And that is kind of the pain I feel like Darcy Kuemper is feeling a little bit right now, not in the fact that he doesn't have anyone in front of him to help him, but the fact that he is holding he's holding the Coyotes in these games, and he is, you know, like I've always said, if you can keep them within 3 goals, that should be able to give them the ability to win the game. And the fact that he only gave up 1 goal and they still weren't able to win that game. They were shut out completely for the second game in a row. And that's so frustrating coming from the Coyotes, who do it all the time. It's the same old spiel that we have to relive all the fucking time. And with any other team, you know, with that game against Vegas, the entire time I kept on getting uncomfortable because I was like, the Coyotes need to score, because if not, Vegas will. It's going to come eventually. This game isn't going to end 0-0. it always, there ends up being a breaking point where someone breaks through, and it all, and I go, and it needs to be the Coyotes, because if they don't, then this game's done. And I knew that, and it's very sad that I knew that from the get-go, because of the fact that soon as they're down and they haven't been able to be the one that punches through that ceiling there, it completely just goes away. They cannot come back. And it's so irritating and infuriating. And I can only imagine how Darcy Kuemper feels, and the fact that he has been working so hard for this team, and they haven't been helping him out and contributing. And it is really sad that Glenn Keller only has 3 points in 7 games. I mean, come on. I've said it before and I will say it again. I root for him to do well because he can do well here and he can produce. He just can't. And I don't know what it is, and I don't know what will get him there. It frustrates the shit out of me, because sometimes, you know, players like that, we've seen them here in Arizona who really haven't done well, and then we send them out of the state and they start to look better. Dylan Strome was one of those. He started to look a little bit better once he was out of here. It's so difficult as a fan and as people who have followed the franchise for so long and have really rooted for them to watch this and literally be reliving the same mistakes every single night. And when they are playing these games against the California teams, they need to be winning these games, because these are the ones in the shortened season that should be given to them. They should be the ones that were like, okay, no worries. These are going to be the ones that get won, because of the fact that you're going to have a fight in all of the other teams that aren't in California. Those are going to be ones that are going to be hard for you to win. So you need to be able to take these and take them easily. And it's so frustrating to see this. And you have to wonder if some of it comes from the fact of the fact that they are still licking their wounds from that Vegas loss over that controversial icing or no icing call. And if that's the case, then seriously, we've talked about so many times about them being young and naive, but come on, you have to be able to come back, have a short memory. This is a new game, capitalize, come in aggressive, screen the goaltender, and get some quality shots. Really just get some shots from the slot and really just put those on net instead of these like really sloppy perimeter shots, which is they're very known for for the past couple seasons, because of the fact that they just start flinging pucks at the net. They are not actual quality shots. And I don't know if it's the fact that they are missing people who have really that awareness of where they're at in the ice and their ability to screen the goaltender and to really set up these plays, but they aren't getting there and they're taking really bad shots, and they could have literally all of the offensive zone time in the world and still not score a goal.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I think the team as a whole is running out of answers for it. Rick Tocchet, after the first loss to Anaheim, said this. He said, "We've still got to get in front of the net, and we've still got to get some shots through, some hard shots. We had the puck a lot tonight, but you got to find a way to score. It's the bottom line. We need some guys to score some goals for us." And, like, the wild thing about that is, you know, the Coyotes don't have pure goal scorers, I'd say, absolutely like some not other teams do, right? Where, yeah, Phil Kessel's probably the most well-known of the bunch, but he's lost a step, obviously, from his heyday. But we know Phil Kessel still has a very good shot. We know that Barrett Hayton, I think, has a very good shot. We've saw it in junior, saw it earlier this season on one of his goals, right? We know these guys have the ability to score goals, right? We've seen Connor Garland seemingly be the best guy in terms of, you know, getting into the dirty areas, into the crease, creating havoc for the defensemen, and just being able to get in places to create opportunities for himself and other players. But they need more of that. They need more of what Connor Garland does on this team right now, and they're just not getting it. And, you know, they're not getting it from guys like Christian Fisher. They're not getting it from guys like Lawson Krause on the bottom six, who I feel like are guys that they that can do that but have never really figured out quite how to do it at the NHL level. And that leads me to you know, one last thing on this game, Corey, before we move on, which is I feel like tonight's game against Anaheim is almost a must win, right? Not only is it a must score, they got to snap their goal scoring drought, but they need to beat this Ducks team to to get some confidence back in them again, because they did it against Vegas, right? After they got shellacked 5-2 in that game against Vegas, they came back home and won 5-2, put out their best performance that entire four-game set against Vegas, and I feel like they need to do the same thing against Anaheim. They need 2 points in this game. They need to win. They need to score 3 or more goals because they're headed out on the road to play some really tough teams. And I wonder if a road trip after what is hopefully a win against Anaheim is exactly what this team needs. Is this team just needs to change something and/or everything at the same time?
Yeah, I guess if I was to say what I really want to see out of them in particular this next game, or this game tonight, I guess it would be to see them be really fucking annoying. Like, I just want them to annoy the shit out of the Ducks. Like, and that is the thing, is they need to come into this game super cocky and super just ready to annoy the shit out of them. Really get in their face, really get in Gibson's face, and just kind of assert yourself, you know, push yourself into these situations, you know, bully your way into the crease, get some nice screens, and just really dominate on the ice tonight. Like, that is what I would really like to see out of them. So if I was to sum it up, is I just really want them to annoy the fuck out of the Ducks.
I agree, because that's kind of what the Ducks did to the Coyotes. Remember what I said when you and I were on the Ducks podcast earlier in the week?
Yeah, you jinxed it.
Well,
you jinxed it, absolutely.
I didn't jinx it, okay? Did not jinx it. I did not say they were going to lose, okay? All I said, and I ended up being correct, was that the only way the Ducks beat the Coyotes is if the Ducks frustrate the Coyotes. And it starts with John Gibson having a really good track record against the team. And if John Gibson is good, that will frustrate the Coyotes and it will force them to make a mistake. And that's exactly what happened. So I did not jinx anything. I just called it like I saw it. And I was 100% correct.
I don't know. Isn't there a Richie jinx?
There is, yes. But that's not the Richie jinx, because it's exactly what happened. Usually the Richie jinx is when I say something and the complete opposite happens.
That is true. That is very accurate. I just wanted to give you a little bit of shit because I didn't like the fact that you said that and you were correct. But I still had to watch it and watch 3 periods of it.
Yeah, it was.
You got to be really frustrated.
Yeah, I don't think I was that. I have been that frustrated after a Coyotes game in a while. That's how frustrating that game was.
I haven't been that frustrated since the game against Minnesota where Darcy Kemper got injured. That it was the last time I was that level frustrated.
And I would say for me, it was those two games at the end of that Colorado series when it was, 7-2 and 8-1 or something. Those were pretty bad.
Yeah, that's just depressing, though. It's not frustrating.
Like, yes. It's
straight up depressing.
Yeah, that's a good descriptor for those two games. Okay, we will get to some random shit in this episode. We didn't have a chance to do it on the Monday episode, but I got a couple of great stories coming for you in just a few minutes. But first, we wanted to touch on one more thing from around the NHL, or not the NHL this week, but around the hockey world this week. And that is the controversy surrounding Barstool Sports and the NWHL. This blew up on Tuesday night into Wednesday. We talked about the NWHL on our Monday show, and it continues to grow and grow and grow. Congratulations to the Toronto Six, the expansion team in the NWHL this year. They got their first ever win as a franchise back on Tuesday night. They beat what is probably maybe the best roster in the NWHL in the Boston Pride. That game is actually going on at the same time as the Coyotes game, and I was watching both at the same time. So congratulations to the Toronto Six on getting your first ever win in the NWHL. So, but unfortunately, things got derailed from that conversation into a conversation about how bad Barstool Sports is at everything. And Corey, you and I both did our best to read up on this. It's a very kind of wild, all over the place type story. But it basically boils down to the Barstool Sports CEO, Erica. Let me get her name right. Erica. Oh, here we go. Yeah, Erica Nardini. Basically.
Well, and let me clarify something really quickly. A lot of people think that Dave Partnoy is the CEO or whatever. He is not. She is. They've had a lot of like issues, sexism, racism wise and stuff like that. So I think they made her CEO as to kind of like as a way to try and bridge that a little bit. And then they just made, I forget what his title is. He may be president, but not like he may be president, she's CEO or something. I don't know. But he's still like the main face, but then they put her in that position, I think, is like a way to try and help with the sexism stuff. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's what that is. But a lot of people, I think, get really confused because they always think of Partnoy when they think of Barstool. But I just want to clarify that.
Sure. So here's where the kind of firestorm came from. I'm reading from an article here from USA Today from Himal Jhaveri, who is a terrific writer, covers sports and culture and for USA Today Sports. In her article, she says this, that it's no surprise that any alliance with Barstool, whether it be through Portnoy or Nardini, means legitimizing a toxic cesspool of bad behavior, as the site's CEO Nardini could take a firm stand against such behavior. But under her leadership, that kind of behavior has not just continued to thrive, but she has actively participated in it. And she put out a video where essentially she was, you know, making fun of a lot of people, a lot of supporters of the league, basically trying to call them out for supporting the league and trying to play favorites, like, hey, I'm the real supporter here, blah 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 blah. Again, it's all very messy, but the backlash of this came from, it started with Soroya Tanker.
It was basically her getting defensive. She did like a video, basically, like it was showing all of these tweets of people that didn't like Barstool and were getting like mad at her. And she was basically saying, all I did was bring attention to NWHL when, you know, it could use all of the support that it needs. Like, why are you guys coming at me? And Barstool, when all I'm trying to do is help you. But of course, per the usual with anything that is Barstool, even when they try to do something good, a lot of the people that religiously follow them and try and defend them say some pretty terrible shit. So 100%. All those people that got mentioned in that video got attacked.
Exactly. And so after Nardini tweeted out this video, some players from the NWHL spoke out and tried to say, listen, we don't want anything to do with you or Barstool Sports because of the culture that it brings along. Again, Soroya Tanker, she's currently with the Metropolitan Riveters. She is, of course, a Black woman. She said, we as a league do not want to support from any openly racist platform, point blank, period. If you as a CEO cannot recognize that your platform promotes that of white supremacy and only further divides the athletic community, perhaps we need to have a conversation. Please keep your money. Anya Packer, who is another NWHL player, also commented on it. And then the league actually put out a statement saying this. I would like to respond to the video posted last night by a media platform about the NWHL. The success of our movement hinges on respect, opportunity, and a strong sense of connectedness across our players, team, staff, fans, partners, and supporters. Let's keep the focus on our athletes. There is no circumstance where it would be acceptable to call out many of the reporters, staff members, and fans who have given so much to women's hockey. Like every professional sports league, the NWHL has a formal application review process for prospective owners, and this will continue to be strictly adhered to. We have received inquiries from several groups interested in purchasing clubs, but the NWHL will not sell a club to anybody who has not been fully supportive of the league's values. And it's a mess. And I hope, you know, the NWHL continues to grow from this somehow, and just and Barstool just goes away. Like, if Barstool just never existed, I'd be a very, very happy man at this point. But because it's kind of a shame, again, because this whole thing, this whatever you want to call it, controversy from Barstool is taking away from what is the sport and the league that is continuing to grow. And Corey, you see people on Twitter every time there's an NWHL game on. Like, I see constant tweets about the Toronto Six, right? And unfortunately, this is not what the league needs right now. And I'm glad to see the players and the league saying, basically, we don't need you. Go away.
Well, and yeah, and so the reason why the NWHL put in there about people owning the team and stuff like that, at the very end of that video that I was talking about before, she mentions the fact that she would love to own an NWHL team. And that and then provided her email so that way they could reach out about her owning a team. So that's where that's coming from as well. So basically, after she ripped on all these people for ripping on her, and then, you know, like all of their little like minions, I guess you could call them, kind of like go from there and attack from there. After they all did that, she then said that she has a desire to own a team. I don't know if it's ignorance or what, but I mean, like, it's kind of like, what did you expect would happen if you were to call these people out, put their tweets out there, put, you know, with their names and everything else out there, and it was kind of a revenge video, honestly. I mean, like, what do you expect would come from it? Like, I understand that her initial intentions were good from her side of it, where she thought she was coming from. But there's a lot of a lot of racism and toxic masculinity in the culture of Barstool and in the culture of their following. And their following does tend to be very cruel online. So to think that that wasn't going to happen is a little bit crazy. And honestly, I really give props to the NWHL for, you know, standing up for their players and saying something about it, because it is a very messy situation, and the entire thing is just it's difficult, because no matter what, online, one of the things that Barstool is known for, and one of the things that Partnoy has always done with the you know, the his brand and his business model, essentially, and I mean, it has gotten Barstool to where it is today, is he believes, and as you've seen him at like football getting kicked out of like Super Bowls and shit, like, he believes that any type of publicity is good publicity. which is something like I haven't really heard since the days of like Britney Spears showing her vagina to the paparazzi. Like that was kind of the days of those where any publicity was good publicity. That's what he believes and that's what they believe. Even even their CEO, she was putting out their barf stool shirt that was like their basically they're making fun of them, but then they sell it so they make money off of it. So she was even using that opportunity to basically, and then she said even her tweet says something about like hate or something makes good marketing, or something about them making good marketing. And so it's difficult because I feel to some degree, as much as putting down Barstool and saying like, oh, you know, the things that they do are wrong and the you know, the atmosphere that they create is wrong. It's also, I think, great to ignore them, because the more attention that you give them, the more they benefit from it, because that's basically what they've built their business upon.
Yeah, exactly. And there's another article again from Himal Javeri, who I mentioned just a moment ago, where she wrote about, again, the Metropolitan Riveters player Soraya Tinker. And the headline is, the NWHL Soraya Tinker was brave enough to speak out. Hockey needs to stand behind her. Because like I said, she was the one to call out Barstool for furthering white supremacy and a racist, sexist culture. And not many others have specifically called out Barstool themselves. So I hope, and I've shared these articles from Himal out on my Twitter account, @Flores91, so you can go check them out, and you can check them out on USA Today and read them for yourself. But the best thing, in my opinion, you can do right now, Sporty Nation, is watch the NWHL on Twitch. And I mentioned this on the Monday show, and I'm going to mention it again. If you have some extra money lying around, you can gift subscriptions to the NWHL Twitch channel. They start at $5 a month per subscription, and a lot of that money goes directly to the player. So if you are looking to support the league, instead of going out and spending it on another bottle of Pink Whitney, and some of that money goes to Barstool, go and support the NWHL. Go watch them on Twitch. Go watch their games. I've watched a decent amount, as much as I can, of the N double, as they're calling it, this up in Lake Placid this year. And it's been great. And I can't wait to watch the semifinals and finals coming up here on February 5th and 6th, I believe. Super Bowl weekend on NBC is when the semifinals and finals are going to be held in the NWHL. So hope you guys check that out and keep continuing to support the league. I, Corey, have gone all in. I am a Minnesota Whitecaps fan, just so you know.
Ooh, very nice. I'll definitely have to figure out who I'm rooting for. I mean, I could go Minnesota with things because of like my Minnesota Vikings-ness. I would like to preface very quickly too, because you know, after all of this, who knows, it could come back to bite me in the ass. There is very few things with Barstool that I really support, but I do somewhat support Spit and Chicklets. Like I do listen to Spit and Chicklets and stuff like that. I know that some of that goes to Barstool, but a friend of ours, Paul Bissonnette, is a pretty cool dude, and he really does care a lot about women in the sport and really just trying to further any cause within the sport, and he's pretty awesome. So for that fact, I do listen and support that podcast, even though they are a part of Barstool, and I just kind of wanted to say that, because the fact that, you know, later, if someone sees me drinking Pink Whitney or whatever and heard this episode and wants to give me shit, I will say that in advance, that I that I do because of Paul Bissonnette, to some degree, in that regard, support Spit and Chicklets, not particularly their Barstool half, but the podcast itself half.
All right. Are you ready to wrap up the show with some random shit? I have a couple of stories here before we get out of here.
Yes. I think after all of that very heaviness that we need some random shit at this point.
Let's begin with a maybe you shouldn't do this on a date. FYI, for your information here. Just a little PSA. So if you're going to scout women for on dating sites while you're on another date, leave your reflective glasses at home. Let me explain. One dude didn't and is now being shamed online for being such a dope. Instead of paying attention to his companion, a 23-year-old TikTok user opted to fiddle with his phone. Studying the phone's reflection in the man's glasses, the woman realized he was checking out prospects on the dating app Bumble. She posted a video of the scene, her unimpressed face, the reflection in the man's glasses, and a close-up of the reflection to her TikTok, writing, "I wish I was kidding." As of a couple days ago, it's racked up almost 500 million views. Oops.
That's hilarious. And it's funny because, like, I don't think a lot of people realize that your glasses give off such a reflection, but they do. Like, that's part of the thing that used to always drive me nuts about newscasters wearing glasses, and which is why you don't see them wearing glasses that often, is there is a lot of cameras and a lot of lights in front of them, and you can see all of that in their glasses. And so there's a lot of reflection that you can get off of your glasses, whether you know that or not. I mean, I there's plenty of times that I've taken with sunglasses in particular, where I've taken pictures of someone and I'm very clearly in the reflection of their glasses. It happens more often than you think. How much of a dumbass do you have to be sitting there and, like, scrolling through Bumble while you're, like, if you're really not that interested, why don't you just end the date and go home, jerk yourself off, and go through your Bumble options? Like, don't you have something better to do than wasting this girl's time?
See, I think it's more complicated than that. Maybe the girl just wasn't that interesting. Just kidding. I don't know. It's probably the guy. Guys are assholes, everybody. We all know that. This guy's an idiot.
No. Even if she wasn't very interesting, then come up with some excuse or, like, text your friend and be like, "Hey, can you call me and say there's an emergency?" Be like, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. There was an emergency." Like, why keep her there and waste her time?
Maybe she offered to pay for the meal?
And so okay, then you're using her for a free meal. And I know females who have done that, where they've used men for a free meal. And I have called them out on it. I'm like, you are a complete asshole. That is such an asshole move. Like, I've always hated that. Don't do it. It's such a dick move. No matter if you're a guy or a girl, don't be that person. Don't waste people's time and don't waste people's money.
All right, I got one more for you before we get out of here, Sporty Nation. Let's go to St. Agnes in Cornwall over in the UK. A cozy bunker built in 1961, which was abandoned back in 1991. Hey, that's the year I was born. Under a field in St. Agnes, Cornwall, is on the market for $50,000. It was built to survive a nuclear bomb blast, and with enough provisions for 2 months, the one-room shelter also comes complete with the original rust bunk bed frames and a dubious working toilet. It's accessed by lifting a hatch and climbing down a rusty ladder.
Could you quarantine in it?
Yeah, if you want.
They should have sold this thing. They should have sold this thing when COVID like hit its like highest peak.
Mm-hmm.
You can quarantine in it. No one can come into your bunker, and you can be COVID free. That's how I would have like put that thing on the market.
That's a great idea. The lead to the story here on the New York Post says, worried the COVID-19 vaccine might turn people into zombies? Afraid of a new Cold War? Or do you just simply want a simple place to call your own that no one else can get to?
I mean, I think there was like an island that was saying that they were like, they were renting it out for even more than it already was for a private island. And I was about to be like, okay, it's already locked out of money for like renting a private island. But like they raised it because of COVID, because people that are rich wanted to like have a private island. Well, I feel like this is that same situation. You can raise the price because like people want their own bunker. And two, I think there really are people out there that discovered. I think there's two different types of people. There is the people that either discovered that they really love being at home and away from people and are antisocial and really don't want to see people anymore. Those are the people that might be interested in this. And then the other people, I think, are the people that realize they're not as antisocial as they thought they were. When you're working all day and you're hearing from people all day and you're out and doing all these things, you want to be home and just like watching a movie and cozy, but like when you're in a situation where you're working from home and everything like that, you just want to get out and you want to see people. So I think people realize they're not as antisocial as they thought they were. So it wouldn't be good for those people, but the first people, they would buy the shit out of that place.
Yeah, if I had $50,000, I would spend it elsewhere. Everybody, it seems like a complete waste of money. it's like torturous. It's like torturing yourself, right? It's like going into the isolation or whatever they call it in Shawshank Redemption when Andy Dufresne keeps fucking up and they keep sending him into the hole. I feel like that's what this is. It's literally just grifting people for their money so that way they can torture themselves. So who knows? I mean, Saddam Hussein lived in a bunker like that for 3 months after Iraq fell and we found him in a hole like that, so.
Yeah, well, the man was a psychopath, for one. And two, he was hiding. So, maybe if you're forced to hide, then yeah, it would be a good idea. But yeah, even if there was a zombie apocalypse, I feel like I would be more in like a zombie land type thing where I would be kind of trying to like roam around and survive. Like I wouldn't just stay underground. Like eventually you've got to come back up. And what kind of life is that?
Yeah, not fun. Not fun at all. All right, Sporty Nation. That's about does it for this episode. Coyotes taking on the Ducks coming up tonight at Gila River Arena. It's a must-win game, in my opinion, as I stated earlier in the show. Do you have any last words before we go?
Don't spend your money on underground bunkers unless it's for temporary reasons because you think there might be a nuclear war. I think that's the only time I think it's ever acceptable.
All right, Sporty Nation, follow us on Twitter at @Corey_RitchieShow. Instagram at Corey Ritchie Show. And we will talk to you again on a very special day in the Sporty Nation, but we'll tell you more about that on Monday. Good night and good hockey, everybody.
Oh, and happy late birthday, Scotty.